heavies going on.
Where'd you get that coffee?
I made it here. You don't have time. No. That's for somebody.
Yeah, I would like a
who
coffee.
Who is early? That is for somebody who's early.
Are you early everywhere? Are you recording right
yes.
now?
Yes. I am early everywhere.
Everywhere you're
yes.
early?
Yes.
Do you have ADD?
No.
Really?
Right. Yeah, really.
This is what happens. I'm at my house. Okay, I go.
We know what happens. You're a mess.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Well, I have to check the stove a lot.
Yeah, I have OCD. That's OCD.
Yeah, I have OCD.
I have OCD.
And then I call the Uber, and then the Uber gets stuck, and I get in the Uber, and I have to explain
the dog. Yeah, we all know this. It's like Ellen's early joke.
What is it?
Ellen DeGeneres. You've heard of her?
Who?
E-L.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay. Ellen's
Horses.
Early joke.
Horses
oh,
girl.
That's cute. So wait, we're on your podcast, not with Ian. Ian's not coming. Okay, I'm proud of you. I'm
Thanks.
Happy for you.
I mean,
you have
I have
your
to
own.
Go to be an Ian right after this.
Right. Well, you're going to be late to that now.
I will be late to that.
Because we're not going to cut short my time.
No, but I'm supposed to be at Ian's at 5.
Well, you'll be there when you're there.
Come on.
Okay. Ellen had a joke about people who are perpetually late. They come to the office, they go, traffic.
Yeah.
Traffic. And she goes, how do you think I got here? Helicoptered in?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's you. Like, what do you think? I wasn't in
you're
a car?
You're staying in Manhattan.
So what? I've stayed in Brooklyn many times. Was I late last time? No, actually, you were late when you came
to
the
inn. I'm always late. 100% late. Always late 100% of the time.
Listen, it's a different decorum. You know,
but
my mother also grew up.
I missed every single class, like every single first period of middle school and high school and elementary school.
Never. First one there.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I had like a lot of pre-time. Well, here's the thing. It's from my mother. My mother had a reverence for anyone. You know, if we had a doctor's appointment, we had a doctor's appointment once a year. And my mother was like, well, we were there before the building opened. Well, I brought a book.
Really?
Did you? And because my mother had such a research, doctor, you don't keep him waiting.
Oh,
and my brother
gotcha.
Didn't weigh enough one year. And my mother was like.
Humiliated.
Yeah, because we were all weighed and, you know, we were sitting in our underwear on the thing. And
what is this?
We went, we went to a once a year checkup before camp or before the school year. Yeah, well, I have 9 siblings. So my mother would bring a bunch.
Right.
She'd bring me. We were all going to the same camp. Not Auschwitz.
9 siblings is so fucked up, Robbie.
It's insane. So I would go with my brothers. We all had to get in our underwear. We had to be weighed. They checked the knee thing. They checked the ears. We're sitting there freezing. Well, because I'm in between brothers. I have a brother a year older, 2 years older, and 3 years older. So I was always looped with them.
Yeah.
And then there was the babies. And then there was the older kids. I was the middle kids.
What the fuck, man? 9?
Yeah, 9.
3 is crazy now. Like, if you meet a woman who's like, I have 3 kids, you're like, damn.
Yeah, no, 9.
9 is...
Well, we're 10 kids, but I have 9 siblings.
How did she manage to do that? Starting very young?
By 30, yeah.
Sorry, by 30?
By 30. Enormous vagina, yeah.
She started... At 30 years old?
No, by 30, she had 10 kids.
Oh,
I'm my mom's
oh.
seventh, and she had me at 27.
And was it Irish twin, just cranking it out?
Yeah. We're all
and you
like
lived
30.
In a...
Duplex. Terrible.
A duplex. You shared a room with somebody?
Oh, yeah. Many people.
Many people?
Yeah.
It wasn't 2 to a room. It was 3 to a room.
No, yeah. It was 3 or 4, because also we lived with my great uncle, Eddie.
Yeah.
Wow. And he lived in the garage. You know, he lived down. So it was like a...
I'm so sorry, Daddy. I'm going to need cream if it's not in there. I'm really sorry for doing that, but there's no way for it to drink. I know.
Coming late.
I know. The late thing is a huge issue. Everybody's mad
it's
at
not,
me.
You know what
time.
It is? My whole family is like this because I guess we had nothing but our but we're going to show up, right? So my mother's like big thing was always like not to be embarrassed, you know, like. You, for instance, when we all were weighing within the percentile, whatever, oh, you know, she looks okay, you know, and then my brother, you know, he's very healthy and, you know, well, Menachem's looking a little light, you know, it's nothing to worry about. He would tell my mother, Mrs. Hoffman, nothing to worry about, just type of thing, finishing his plate, you know, just making sure he's finishing his plate.
That is really tough if your kid is underweight.
You know, and nothing to worry about, but just if it's the kind of thing. As soon as the doctor left the room, my mother was like, get dressed. We're like putting our stuff on. And she's literally holding my brother's pants like this. She's like, you don't weigh enough. He's like 8, like as if he has anything
she's
to do.
At him?
You don't weigh enough. Embarrassing me like we don't have food.
Wow. Do you ever have spells like that?
Yeah, I show up proper wherever I show up. I just show up.
Right, but do you ever have
before I had
where...
anything, all I could do was show up.
But like, do you have, I'm really sorry. She is my favorite Bachelorette, but I always forget her name.
She's the best. What's Gabby.
Gabby. She is the best one.
Of course.
But does she ever do something that has you snap at her and be like, you're
embarrassing me? She's late a lot. No. But she's a debutante. You have no excuse.
What's a debutante?
What did it take for you to put this together?
It's not about the clothes. It's about the stove. It's about the checking of the stove. I get stuck at the stove.
Right? Like,
Robbie.
She has to make an entrance, right? People like you and me, we're not making an entrance. We're there.
I don't know. Bachelorette being late is way worse than comedian being late.
No. When she shows up at a party, it's like, my God, you look beautiful. Well, all is forgotten. All is forgotten.
Yeah, but we're supposed to roll in like a tumbleweed full of hair groups. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Okay, this dog. The dog loves me.
She does love you.
No, I don't want that. I don't want that. My face is dry as can be as already. I don't even licking
look at
it.
This.
Loves me.
Oh my God, you're really getting it.
Animals love me. They feel my soul.
Do you like animals?
No.
Really? Oh, she wants to play with you. This is huge.
Okay, that's it. That's it. Sit. That is it. Sit.
Come.
That is it.
Come.
That is it.
We run amok. She runs. Oh, wow. She likes the.
My sister used to always say with the late, my sister used to say, so my sister is even. It's not only that we're on time, we're early, and my sister's like an hour early. If my sister, one of my sisters and I used to say that, her older sister, like, you know, Chaya says she's going to be over at 4, like, you know, she's coming at 2, she's coming out for lunch. Like, she would be so worried, my little sister, who's not as on time or what we would consider. I consider on time late.
Okay.
Like, to me, on time is 15 minutes early.
Wow.
You go to the bathroom, you get your coffee, you have some decorum in your life.
Wow, it's
you
very
take your
cool.
coat off, you put your scarf away, you take a seat.
And I hate, there's like, I have this dread about being places early and sitting there and waiting and feeling
like a loser. I look at you, I don't care.
I know, just that's my thing. I have this thing where I'm like, I'm going to be there early, it's not going to be open.
I am first one in, first one out often. Sometimes last one out. I don't care.
What time do you go to bed?
Well, it really depends. You know that with us, with stand up and different things.
What's the latest?
I mean, 1 or 2.
Yeah, I'm going to bed at 4 every night.
Really?
Yeah, totally. I'm working till 2 a.m.
Doing what? You look weathered.
I am quite weathered.
Wait, you look like you could sleep.
Oh, yeah, I'm so tired all the time.
Like, what a night's sleep could do for you. It would take...
I know. Years off my
years.
Face.
Years.
I know. Look at my eyes.
You got to do it.
Yeah.
You're low-key pretty. There's no reason
to
deprive yourself of a beauty sleep.
Yeah,
but my sister used to say, like, when she came, if I was late, which again to her is probably not, is like, if I'm not 15 minutes early, she would be like, would you be late if the queen, she used to say this, if the queen invited you for dinner, would you be late? And it's like, no. And it's like, well, you don't even know the queen. I'm your sister. You're flesh and blood.
Oh, wow.
Right? Fuck the queen. I'm your sister.
Yeah, my whole family's late. It's never been, we're always late for everything. It leads to fights sometimes, but I mean, my manager schedules everything half an hour earlier and lies, and then I show up on time.
Yeah.
And that's his.
And by the way, it probably is a lame thing that I'm always on time, but I don't shy from being lame or whatever. Like, I don't.
There is, when I get a text from somebody that's like Steph, I just had her on, and she was like, I am 10 minutes late, and I'm getting coffee. And there was like a, you know.
Yeah.
It was like, my bitch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if you're going to be late, like I also like the dynamic between a late and an early person. It creates a good tension. It's like, I know who you are and you'll know who I am.
Yeah.
So let's start there.
But I don't like that the late
so
person
let's start
seems
there.
Like they have the bigger ego.
I don't think so. I have a massive ego when I'm on time.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about. The ego thing.
Oh.
Hit me. You're on the fucking View, dude. What is your PR? I mean, it is retarded.
I get a lot of incoming. I was surprised that we were on Seth Meyers and The View this week because the special did come out a couple months ago. But Netflix told me recently, like, there's another surge. And they have that sometimes where it does get a word of mouth of this and that. And so that's how that happened. So I was on Seth Meyers.
But what is that? Because of the Jew thing, you cut your tits off, you're woke.
It's because I put out one of the greatest stand-up comedy specials in recent history.
Yeah, we all put out one of the greatest
stand-up comedy
specials.
Mine is quite, it's not, don't take it from me. I'm not saying it because it's mine. I'm saying it because it's true.
There's
punch
a
for punch. punch for punch.
How do you feel comfortable saying that?
Because it's accurate. I'm not here to lie to you.
But there's
a reason Netflix put it out between Ricky Gervais and Matt Rife and Robbie Hoffman with the holiday spot. There's a reason. Punch for punch. They're a business. Punch for punch.
But how do you sleep at night being able to say these things about yourself?
Because I don't, I'm not here to lie to you.
You don't have
things. If I was here to lie to you.
You didn't look back at the special and go, I wish I had done this differently. I wish that,
oh,
know,
no.
You were like, this is perfect.
I mean, after we taped the first one, I said, wow, we got it. And then I just flew the second taping. I mean, you're nervous before, but it's kind of like Eminem. You got one shot.
Yeah, I mean, I know.
You know, so.
But the thing is like, I can look at my special. I'm very proud of it. I love it. But I can also be like, that is me, therefore not the greatest of all time.
No, no, no. I don't operate like that.
You can see yourself as greatest of all time.
Yeah.
How?
I just always felt it. From a young age, I thought, well, this is, you know, from a young age, having nothing but yourself elevates that. It's kind of like Helen Keller probably had a great sense of smell. Why? Because she can't see nothing and she can't hear nothing. So maybe her sense of touch, right?
Right? You have to watch other specials. You have to see Mulaney, you have to see Louis, and you have to go, mine is not as good as that.
But mine is as good as that.
It can't be.
It is. It is. And don't take it from me. Take it from the New York Times.
The New York Times is literally the most Jewish loving.
Take it from Joe Rogan, who just texted me about it. Take it from Leanne Morgan.
I'm not taking anything from
who said, I was watching. Did you see what Leanne Morgan said?
No.
Let's listen right now. You don't know who Leanne Morgan is, one of the greatest stand-up comedians working right now.
Who is it? Let me see who it is.
You know Leanne Morgan. And you know, I know you're so interested in follower count. She's got a lot more than you.
Who is Leanne Morgan?
She's got a lot
more. I'm
not
interested in follower count.
She's very interested.
Also, we have
okay,
to clean
let's
that
listen.
Up. Oh, this bitch. Okay.
What do you have to clean up?
Did you know who I was?
I had no idea who you were.
Do you know how many people think that you... Do you know how many people I've had to convince that you didn't know who I was? Like, they're like 100%. They knew who you were.
Do you know how many people think we actually didn't like each other after that?
I know. The amount of people
and I'm
that
like,
were
no,
like,
we're both professional. Like, here's the thing.
What? But people were legit. Like, everybody is like 100% Robbie knew who you were. And I'm like.
Who?
Literally.
We've never met. I mean, you can clear it up now. We had never met or interacted. I had no idea.
We
I didn't follow.
Interacted.
You hadn't followed.
Yeah, yeah.
We
yeah.
hadn't even had. No, we had no interaction.
We'd been in the
you
same.
You said you saw me, but I didn't know you. And
yeah,
you didn't say
we'd
hi.
We've been in the same club for sure.
But if I don't know, there's hundreds of people in a club.
But
how would I know?
I believe you. But I'm saying everybody thinks that.
Not everybody. A lot of people. What a lot of people think is that it exposed something in you. That you felt you were more known than you were. And
no,
you felt a way about it.
I didn't
that
feel
said,
I was,
after that, I of course felt stupid.
I didn't feel I was more known
I followed
than I
you.
Robbie,
I liked a
I
bunch
felt
of
that
shit.
If you did my podcast, you knew who I was. You can't twist the narrative.
But Ian never said it was your podcast. He said it was. He said, come do my pod.
Right, I assume that if you're doing somebody's podcast, you know, or you know that at least if there's a co-host on the podcast,
I didn't
they
know
must
there
be
was
a
co-host.
I know, but once they're sitting there, it's like, oh, I do
no,
know.
He said his friend is coming in from the docks. He pitched what? You as somebody who was on the docks.
Really?
And this must be on camera before you show up.
Really?
And that's why I ask you when you come in. Like, I thought you were just. He said, you're going to love Jordan, you know,
wow.
And she, yeah. And I, so I just thought it was one of his friends and we were kicking it in his basement. He was doing one of these
well, that makes
on the
way
fly
more
types
sense.
Podcasts.
Yeah.
He didn't introduce you as a comedian. He didn't say he had a co-host. I had no idea what the podcast was called. To me, I looked up to Ian. I see he has a big following because I follow him, but I've never seen his podcast.
Right.
He doesn't post it. He has a page for it, but I don't know that. Now I do. And I follow everything. But let's take a look at this.
Also, follower count does matter.
Of course. And I've blown up since. Robbie Hoffman on Instagram. By the grace of God, thank you, everyone. Okay, look at this. Gonna make it louder.
This message is sponsored by Raycon. As we head into spring, I've been craving fewer distractions and more focus throughout my day, whether I'm working, commuting, or just taking a moment for myself in a theater balcony. I've been using Raycon's Everyday Classic Earbuds Classic, and they've become my go-to for daily listening. The active noise canceling helps block out background noise so I can stay locked in, whether I'm listening to music, catching up on podcasts, or taking calls. Everything sounds clear and immersive, which makes it easier to stay present and focused. And right now, you can get them 20% off. The new colors are awesome. Personally, I'm into the blush violet. I hadn't seen earbuds in that shade before, and I feel like an accessory that fits me. Here's the kicker: Raycon delivers the same premium audio quality as the big brands, but at half the price, and an over 3 million customers and 30-day happiness guarantee, and there's zero reasons to overpay. They have multi-point connectivity, so you can pair with two devices at once. That's pretty cool, and a super comfortable ergonomic design that stays put no matter what you're doing. Boy, do I wish I had these on the bus tour to block out the sound of the person holding the camera squawking like a dang goose. A couple features that make them everyday go-to: 32 hours of battery life, quick charge function, awareness mode when I'm out walking the dog or running errands. Lets me hear what's happening around me while enjoying the podcast. These sound better than the ones I've been wearing, and I can't wait to get these in the mail. I haven't been using these, I'm going to be honest. I need them to get sent to me, but I'm actually quite excited to use them because the ones that I'm using, which are supposed to be really high quality, lose their battery in 4 seconds. So get these. I'm going to get them. You're going to get them. We're going to be wearing them every day. Because why? They're the everyday earbud classics, and they're perfect and refreshing for your routine this spring. Go by raycon.com/RIP to get 20% off. That's Raycon for sponsoring.
Okay, Robbie, I've just gotten up, baby, in East Tennessee, and I've had 2 sips of coffee. I don't have all my thoughts together, but off the top of my head, I want to tell you that you are so unique.
Unique is not a compliment.
Your point of view, I mean, nobody, you hit on things that nobody has talked about. I was just sitting here with my mouth open watching your special, and I thought, there's nobody like her. And I laughed, and I mean, your mannerisms, your voice, the way you repeat something, I'm gonna have to watch it again several times because it was spectacular. Okay, Robbie, I've just gotten up.
There's just nobody.
I was sitting there when I was watching it thinking, is it like Dave Chappelle? Like, you just, there's just nobody. No, when I say that, like, to sit and watch him on one of his specials, when he's sitting down in a small venue, and I know you've seen it. Mm-hmm. I think it was the last one he did. And it was just like you. The whole time I watched it, I thought, "There's nobody like it. Like nobody's doing this." That's how I feel about you. I mean, and that's not even. I've only had 2 sips of coffee, so that's not even an intelligent way to describe it, my darling. Forgive me for that. I'm tired. Christmas is going to kill me, but with all these kids, and I got to get ready. I'm not ready. But anyway.
She's the funniest, too.
I wish I had. I'm sure Jerry Seinfeld will call you and give you a more articulate explanation of how brilliant you are. But there's just nobody. I was sitting there when I was watching it thinking, is it like Dave Chappelle? I feel it in my heart. God has got his hand on you. God picked you out. Imagine when you were little and you went to a carnival and there were the ducks. Remember the ducks? Yeah. And you could pick up a duck and it had a number on it. And if you got a certain number, you won, honey. God picked you out of that and said, let's go, girl. Okay. He put his hand on you. All right. I know. That's deep for the morning. I know you're in Los Angeles. I'm Eastern time. All right, I just want to say that, my darling. Congratulations.
It's very sweet.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Okay, so don't take it from me. I am not here to lie to you.
It's not about what other people
say. I have, you know how it is. It's like, you can either be, I think to succeed, you can be the first or you can be the best. Or you can try and be both, okay? I'm not the first, right? But for what I do, I am doing really good work.
I really believe that.
And doing good well is very difficult. You know, we don't sell gimmicks or that. I can't tell you that I have a guitar, you know, a guitar joke coming out or a pyrotechnics or, you know, it's just good.
You're close to doing pyrotechnics.
I could fuck with some pyrotechnics. Yeah, I could fuck with some pyrotechnics. Now that you mention it,
and coming out like
I think when you grow up without a lot of material stuff and really, in fact, are deprived of that, like solo, like that, it's like highlighted that you have nothing. As a kid, I felt I had nothing. Like I would get home and be like see the roaches and the holes and the Saran wrap peeling off of the windows to keep. I'm like, this is like horrible. Like I have nothing. But deep down, I remember maybe around 10-ish thinking, well, I have me. We have nothing. We basically have nothing. But we don't have nothing. We have me. It's not great. It's not ideal. We have close to nothing, but it's actually not nothing. Yeah. We actually do have me. And so that's the only thing that I had that I just thought, what could I do with this? I don't have all the other stuff. So that is why that feeling when people ask us or I'm sitting on Seth Meyers or going to The View and I keep getting the same question like, you know, could you believe that this is your life? And I go, yeah, I was saying this something here from the beginning.
Yeah.
Before it was cool. I was into me.
Right. I'm just saying be careful because this is like my whole theory on Epstein, Kanye, the started from the bottom, now we're here thing. Yeah. Like I think that
start from the bottom? It's a rich kid.
I don't think it was the bottom, but he bustled his way up through the corporate ladder by lying.
Right. But he was like a rich, connected kid. He comes from like a rich Jewish family, I thought.
Yeah. No, I don't think he was super rich. He worked his way up by being kind of like, I'm the best, I'm the best, I'm the best. And that did work his way up.
Okay, great.
I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, yeah. Okay, fine. Maybe so if you're in a trafficking industry, then maybe that's not where you want to be the best.
I think it can corrupt you. I think art, if you think you're the best, you'll become myopic. You'll become what Dave Chappelle speaking gibberish.
I don't think.
If you say I don't think I'm the best, I know I'm the best, I'll kill myself right here.
No, I think I can be great. I just do think that. I always have thought that. Yeah. And I wouldn't say it if, you know, there were times that I didn't. You know, if I didn't do well in this, I was somebody when I started and I said, we're doing 6 months. If 6 months is not going well, like, I'm out.
Yeah.
But it was going really well. And I'm like, I think I could be great. And so now, you know, stepping more and more into being great, it does feel organic and natural to me. I am doing what I should be doing. And by the grace of God, it's affording me a wonderful living. That's the surprise of it all. But yeah, yes, you can be that. There's no question. You can enter a Chappelle or you can be Lewis Hamilton, the greatest F1 driver of all time, driving for Ferrari right now. So I think you can channel it both ways.
I think Chappelle never said that they were great. That's what my argument is.
Lewis Hamilton? He says he's the best and he is the best.
Okay, but I would argue, okay, then for comedy, I would argue that
people are amazing at comedy and can say they're amazing at comedy. Some people can't. I don't think there's a rule for anyone.
Right.
You know, like I think it's how you handle it.
I have the same thing where I'm like, if I'm not the best, I don't want to do this. That's how I feel. Like, okay, if I'm not willing to be subpar.
So I'm not shy about it, and you are. We're different people.
It's not about being shy. I don't think I'm the best.
Okay, and maybe because that's true.
But it's just it's.
You
like,
don't think it, and I think it. But you're
but
mad
I don't
that
I'm
I think
ever
it.
Ever gonna think it?
Okay.
I'm not
so
mad.
Then that
I'm
sucks.
Arguing philosophically with you about this idea.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the argument, but I think you might. I think that you're a truth seeker.
But I also am seeing it work out way better. Like, that's the thing that I'm interested in. I mean, this is the thing that I'm philosophically interested in, is it also does seem like it draws the right type of attention when you have a huge ego. Like, it actually works out.
But it's not an unfounded ego. I think what you're conflating is Chappelle putting out 4 or 5 Nanette specials in a row.
Yeah.
And okay, I wouldn't put those out.
Okay.
You know, so I would only put out when it was great or amazing. And there are people who do that. You know, I'm not a numbers game, but also he's getting his bag. Like, I can't fault what people are doing. You know, he gets a lot of money and maybe he's not doing it to be, you know, he proved himself and then he went, you know. Or there's Eddie Murphy, who I think is the best and the greatest, and didn't want to put something out until it's great, and we're still sitting 25 years. He goes, no, I don't. I you know, there's different ways to do it. And maybe he will give us another hour, but maybe he's like, I'm the best. Right. I can do it. There's both. Picasso did that too. Picasso was an incredible artist, did the Blue Period, painted beautifully, and then got famous, thought he was the best, and just wanted to make money. He drew a line and he would sell it, and he did this. But there's other artists who made great work till the end. You know, the Jackson Pollocks and whatever, an abuser, and that's an aside story. But I'm just saying, like,
is he an abuser?
There's not rules necessarily, you know.
I
can't lie about what I think. Like, if I told you I didn't think I would be great or that I'm doing great work, I would be lying to you. So I don't know what the...
But I'm arguing, let's just say this, about being shy about it and about not being shy about it. Yeah. We take these two things, right? I think that I work just as hard as you. I think I put out things that are just as good as you. Let's just say that as the base, okay? Your idea of being like, I am the best and I know it and I'm going to say it out loud versus mine, which is I feel totally, because of my own poor upbringing and my own upbringing, that's illegal. You cannot say you're the best. You are not allowed to say that you're the best. Yours seems to be drawing more. Like the universe, what the universe gives to those with confidence, it seems.
Sometimes and sometimes not. You mentioned a few examples that, you know, Kanye has derailed, and, you know, there's sometimes, and, you know, there's not a rule about it. I just think that the people, I've been made of the people and by the people. And the first thing that I had is people's support. So, and I bring them with, you know, I don't feel like somebody asked me about the tour, it's being sold out. Like, how's that felt? I feel like I've always been word of mouth. Tickets have always been the best thing for me. Mm-hmm. Everything else, all this Hollywood stuff is kind of later. First, I had people in the seats, you know, so I feel like it was a very like grassroots almost elevation of me. It's like, because the people have been with me and have gotten me, that's kind of been the following. I also think that we grew up not talking about certain things and talking about certain things. For instance, the first time I met rich people and I dated somebody, she comes from a rich family where they don't talk about, you know, money or politics and things like that. And it's like, I think they let us know what we're supposed to talk about and not. And that's always top down. It's always from the rich, because of course, if they talked about money, that's what's embarrassing is how gluttonous they are with the money and how selfish and what they've done, what greed has done to them. It's not because we're poor and we had to talk about money. You know what I mean? They made us feel gauche that we had to discuss money at every turn. That things are, well, how much does it cost?
Right.
You don't ask that. We're in Bloomingdale's. You don't ask.
Yeah.
Bitch, how much does shit cost?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you probably
so now there's nothing.
Like, how much did you make that weekend? And people.
Now, you know, it's so funny because... It's a real curiosity, but now I don't limit necessarily. I choose what I want to talk about and what I don't. I don't mind talking about my feelings about how I think I'm doing.
Yeah.
There's other things I might mind talking about, but I don't like tell because somebody told me you don't talk about this thing or you should be like, I am so grateful to be doing great work at this great elite level. Like, I feel like I always wanted to do that. I always wanted to compete at the highest level and see if I could get that done, if I could get there. So I'm just so grateful, but it's also the truth that I am, you know, I have a Netflix special. That is the highest caliber.
It's not the highest.
Of comedy. For us, for getting a special. I mean, in the terms of comedy.
Right, right.
When I got it, it felt okay, we're in the big leagues.
Do you know how difficult
it is? And I always wanted, I thought I would make the NBA or the MLB or whatever it is. I always worked to that. So I think people are happy for me.
I think you get to a level and you pray and you're like, this is great. And I think that's huge. I mean, my therapist would love if I did any of that. I think for me, it's like I get a Netflix special and I'm like, yeah, but what I really want is this. What I really, and you keep setting.
See, I don't have that.
I think that's great.
I love what I do.
And this carries over to into, I love what I do too.
Like the luxury of my life, like the making it, is like that I still never get over. And maybe this is because I could listen to the same song for 30 years. I could do Linkin Park Numb every day in the car. I'd be fine.
And you loved the open mic scene. I've loved the whole journey, right? You've loved every part of it.
Yeah. Well, I liked when I make money doing this.
Oh, that's
like, it's
a like.
Miracle. Yeah. Like,
I see.
Like, every day that I don't have, that the alarm doesn't wake me up because I got to go to my job is like literally heaven.
What was your job?
Oh, when I was in accounting and then sales and like, office, you know, stuff. A million stuff. But it's like waking up, taking the subway and the freeze, like it's still blackout. Like, I just do not get over it. It's like people ask me, like, what's it like living in LA? I've been there for 10 years now. I go, I never get over a beautiful day. I can't even explain to you. I literally get out of the house. Gabby goes, Rob will say, it's a beautiful day. Oh, like, if it's beautiful, I can smell it. I can enjoy it every single time. And so maybe that's the difference. The difference is you're not thinking about the thing. You're already somewhere else. And I'm thinking about the thing, and the thing is so sick.
Yeah.
Like, bro, we're doing Netflix. Like when I got on stage, I'm like, let's fucking go. And the whole audience were like, we're here. Some of them were here for me 10 years. We're like, we're fucking doing it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's unbelievable. I can't get over it.
Yeah.
So.
I had that for 5 minutes. Yeah, definitely.
Right. So I have it longer. That's I don't know why that is.
I think it's a lot of, I think it's just general mentality where it's just like one. I think if you have enough like abuse where as soon as something good happens, you get the shit kicked out of you. I think every time something good happens for me, I'm like, well, I'm about to get the shit kicked out of me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's hard to escape that.
Were you beaten?
There was always violence and stuff, but it's also just like in life, it's always been like 1 foot and then I just get knocked down. But I also think it is a mentality thing. I think it's a lack of serotonin. I think it's mental illness. I think it's depression. I think it's all
that. Well, do you like things?
But I don't regret that I am that way because it pushes me.
Yeah, we all have to be different. And, you know, like I just like things, material or ethereal. I like them what I like. So,
yeah, if you saw how
like my glasses. I found 12 years ago. I've never had to think about glasses again. Maybe 14 years ago. I don't even know how old these are now. Never thought about glasses again. I bought a watch 7 years ago. I've never thought about a watch again. I just like things for a very long... I met Gabby, my wife. People are like, how was it? I'm like, it's the greatest thing. Like, when I like something, I can like it a very long time. And the new feeling feels very new for... Every day that I put on my watch, I love it. It does not get old for me.
Yeah.
But I know that people are itching. Well, you get this one. You want the next one. You want the next one. Not me.
All right. No CD. I'm very pro this. This is basically a website that connects you to exposure therapy. Exposure therapy is, in my opinion, the only way to get rid of OCD, or I should say the only way that I have been able to deal with my OCD. Exposure therapy basically exposes you to the things that you are ritualistically avoiding or pursuing so that you stop doing them, and that is the only way to stop it in its track, and I'm very pro exposure therapy. So basically their examples that they give are, does your brain torture you with what ifs and unknowns and you really don't want to be, things that you don't want to be thinking about? For example, what if I'm faking my entire personality? Did I say something offensive in that meeting without realizing? Does that disturbing thought I had mean that I secretly am violent? I have those a lot. You have those a lot about dismembering babies. I've had thoughts and worries like that. I worried I was going to bite Laura Dern. So yeah, an exposure therapy wouldn't mean biting Laura Dern. It would mean being around Laura Dern without biting her, just so you guys know. Now I know a lot of people hear OCD and picture something like organizing their closet, but that stereotype is completely wrong. You guys know about this. It's all about intrusive thoughts. It's thoughts that you don't want to have. It's thoughts that you don't want to control. It causes you suffering. It interrupts your life. You want to be thinking about important things and you can't. Real OCD is a serious condition where unwanted, distressing thoughts called intrusive thoughts get stuck on repeat in your mind and you feel compelled to engage in certain behaviors called compulsions to try and make them stop. So yeah, it says mention OCD symptoms. I'm worried I'm going to die in my sleep, so I have to drink a lot of water. I'm always worried that I'm going to say things I shouldn't say or beat people with a stool when I'm on stage. I'm frequently worried that I'm going to take something and carve into my own body or carve into somebody else's body, jump in front of a train. You guys know all this. The thing about OCD is that the compulsions only provide short-term relief. No matter how many times I asked for reassurance, avoided things that triggered distressing thoughts or followed certain rituals, the intrusive thoughts just kept coming back stronger. That's why OCD can be so debilitating. It is treatable. OCD is one of the few most treatable mental health conditions out there if you get the right kind of specialized therapy. OCD needs ERP therapy or exposure and response prevention. It's proven to be the most effective treatment. I very much stand by this. Regular talk therapy isn't recommended for OCD and can actually make it worse. NoCD is the world's leading OCD treatment provider, and all of their licensed therapists specialize in ERP therapy. It's 100% virtual, covered by insurance for over 138 million Americans, and includes support between sessions. So if you ever you never have to face OCD alone. This is huge. And to learn more about starting OCD therapy with NoCD, go to nocd.com and book a free call with their team. That's NoCD.com. Thanks, guys.
I have the long-term thing with things that I love, for sure. Like, I get very attached to things. I think it's that I have no capacity to, when I got the Netflix special, I was like, I had a lot of qualifiers. And I was like, the only reason I'm getting it is because X, Y, and Z, instead of being like, I worked to get here. And if I think about that, like, when my therapists have been like, why don't you consider the fact that you got yourself here? It's so overwhelming to me that I just push it away.
And it's not even work, because some people work and are bad, and some people don't work and pop off. I just think it's like when I get something like that, I think I got it because I'm good.
That's great.
Like, yes, they don't have to, they don't know the whole story. That's fine. They're just making a decision. Can this be on our platform or not? You know what I mean? Because I've seen people pop off at 20, 21. For instance, Eddie Murphy was 21 with Raw. I believe he was 21 or 23 years old.
That's crazy.
Okay. One of the greatest specials of all time. Yeah. So I don't think there's rules again. I don't think you have to. I think he is naturally incredible. I think I naturally, when I found this, it was like an organic fit.
Yeah.
Plus I did the work.
Yeah.
Plus it didn't, I was never the overnight success. Some people are. Some people get lucky. I was always slow and steady
when
wins
did you
the
start?
Race. Probably 12 years ago now.
Yeah.
So I've never been like the overnight success, but just the slow and steady wins the race.
I don't want the overnight success. I had so much fun the whole ride.
Sure.
You know what I mean? The open.
Yeah, I just, you know what? I still have so much. Money was a big, it's very scary to be poor for so long.
You know what? I didn't have money, but I really liked, I didn't hate my, I loved doing carpentry. I loved being a landscaper. I loved working with my body. And I was so stoked to be in New York City to do that. And I felt.
See, I worked bad day jobs. Like the job I hate. I know, but I had to, I had to for some time. I can't, I'm not a lesbian like you. I can't do the carpentry.
It's
and
hard.
I'm sure. But I'm, a splinter. Oh, no.
Yeah, I know.
A splinter?
Full of splinters. I'm full of them. Yeah, I think that's and the grind of showing up, doing the landscaping, going
I
to
love
open
it
mics
now.
Covered
and
in dirt.
Also, yeah, I love a life of this is how I toil and this is what I do. You know, I like, Gabby, I've always had my car is always old. I traded one old car for another old car.
What do you have?
I have a Porsche.
You have an old Porsche?
Yes.
What year?
2001. So the first car I bought was my 1983 Toyota Corolla.
Great car.
Okay, which was unbelievable. I got it for $3,600. Okay, but it looked so sick. It was like a coupe.
Yeah, that's so
Toyota,
sick.
Right?
I've seen that one. I love
that
one.
$3,600.
Your
drove
Porsche
that for
is bubbly?
What?
Is your Porsche square or bubbly? Is it rounded?
Yes, it's rounded a little bit.
Not a huge round car person.
It doesn't matter. Porsche is the thing,
really?
Pinnacle. I'm like, when I think car, I think Porsche.
Wow. I like the 80s Porsche, but I don't like that. Segura, too, is a Porsche person.
So, I'm not a Porsche person. I'm just this one particular Porsche
person
because my father always wanted a Porsche, and I have no relationship with my father. But I always grew up, I want a Porsche. I don't know anything.
Know
BMW. I don't know
trucks.
The other things, right? So I grew up wanting that, and having it or getting there has always kept this relationship with my father alive. Yes, it's not ideal. It's not in person, but
where
I get to have a relationship with him. He's somewhere in Nevada.
Oh, okay. He's alive.
Religious. But I get to have a relationship in the ways that I'm like him and the ways that I enjoy the things that he likes now. So obviously it's not ideal, but it's not nothing again. It is a sense of a relationship. And when I get into the car, I can see my eyes in the rear view and I see his eyes. We have very similar eyes. So, 3,600, Drove it for 7 years. Incredible, that Toyota Corolla. Found a buyer. It went vintage during COVID. I bought it at 120 kilometers.
What did it get to?
Like 180.
Nice.
Sold it for $6,000. It becomes a collector's item.
Wow.
Like, really goes crazy in COVID, the vintage market, yeah, whatever. Yeah. It becomes vintage Toyota. A guy buys it for $6,000. So I made almost $3,000 on it. Then I buy my first Porsche. $13,000 Porsche. Everything aftermarket. Nothing original.
$13,000 is so low.
Well, California has, because it's not a, it's a bat, it's not the 911, it's a Porsche model that nobody wants. The guy painted it stripes, this and that.
Okay.
Did his, and I kept everything the same, but it worked as a car. I just cared about the transmission and the engine. This is where I am a lesbian. So it worked as a car. People are like, are you going to paint it? I'm like, I'm not spending $4,000 to paint the car. It is what it is. I wait on that. A few years later, I have that car for 3 years. I sold it for $18,000. Right, so I never buy anything that doesn't hold its value. Porsche will always go up. Even it's the shittiest Porsche, still a Porsche.
Yeah,
still a Porsche. $18,000 was the trade-in value. I got this car for $28,000 minus $18,000, $10,000 for the Porsche I'm in now, which is my Grail Porsche, black, 911 tan interior. We're done.
Let me see it.
We're done, and it's the best. And every time I get in, I feel like me and my father would both be so fucking stoked.
How long?
2001. I've been looking for this car my whole life. And working up to it, it's okay. I check when things are selling. I check, and my Cayman started coming up. People want the Cayman, the bad model that I bought. So I just
it became in fashion.
It became more in fashion because it was the cheap entry level. And I started still making money. Wait to see the trade in. Wait if I could find a 911 around 30,000. That was my max.
Yeah.
Because I would never take a finance or anything. And they gave me $18,000, $10,000.
I get a beater, I run it into the ground.
Yeah,
and I
will run this forever. Yeah.
I had a truck, ran it into the ground, just bought a Volkswagen, running it into the ground.
Of course, that's the way to do it. But you buy, right?
Yeah.
You gotta buy.
Well, leasing? I love cars.
No. Okay, well, I drove it actually in my, that's my car. So you see it there.
Yeah. Oh, it's very nice. Wait, and...
Simple.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
It's really nice. I love it.
Yeah. Does it drive
really
nice?
I love
it. Is it
stick shift? Drives... No. Automatic. I'm not even good.
Yeah.
Again, people are like, you're a car guy. I'm like, all I know is a Porsche. Since I'm a kid...
Yeah.
Porsche. No reason...
You'll get a better
only
Porsche.
Only because... No. This is the best Porsche, though.
Yeah, but then you'll get a...
No, I won't. I like old. I like tactile. I like
I like a
tinkering lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah.
I do. I don't like everything integrated and all that.
What's your apartment like? Huge?
Beautiful.
Really?
You can't imagine.
Really?
You can't imagine.
I wish you could see mine right now. It's
horrible.
The size of that chair.
I wish I could come and help you with your life. I think we could be a good influence on each other.
We're different. I actually am a tinkerer. You're a hobbyist. I actually am a...
I'm not a hobbyist.
Yeah, you're a hobbyist. You're not tinkering with that car.
I tinker with the car, of course. That's the only thing. I know how to tinker with the stuff that I have.
I buy like an actual house that I can fix up. I have it. You know what I mean? Like I get
Oh, so you have... Where's your house?
Upstate.
I have a little country house too.
Yeah,
we're doing well. We're doing well. I'm proud of you.
But I like living in the studio because I don't like the big thing. I don't like getting to the place that I want to be too soon. I don't like that.
No.
And that's why
I live in a beautiful... Listen, I rent. I do everything within my means, and I buy everything used. You know? And you learn a lot buying used or buying pre-owned.
Do you think I should get a bigger apartment to push the echelon of what is possible for me forward? Or do you stay in the small apartment and keep yourself humble?
I think you shouldn't ask me anything.
Ask you things. You are very helpful, even though I didn't take your advice last time, but that is helpful.
What was my advice last time?
Cancel the gig.
Cancel what?
The gig.
Oh, right. And you're totally right on that. In the end.
I was right on
that.
Yeah, you were right.
And I was wrong.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you were totally right on that.
Why?
Because it was a big to-do about nothing, and it was very performative. And
yeah.
I was rused into the fact that I thought we were doing something, but we weren't. And it's upsetting. We're talking about, ultimately, there was the worker strike to strike ICE and all the stuff that's going on. And I canceled working that night. And Jordan had reached out to me, like, should I not work? I think, you know, we stand for workers. I thought, like, well, this is the only thing that could make me move the needle is like a financial strike. I've always thought like, okay, wearing a pin or doing this, like financially striking, like I believe like on a big level, what should happen is like, a strike on tax or something. Nobody do a return. Of course, everybody expecting a return, you know, doesn't benefit, but maybe the people get together with a GoFundMe or whatever. Right. But I think people paying tax, that middle bracket, if everybody just no money in, no money out.
Yeah.
But very hard to organize, obviously, and to follow through. But this was one day of a strike. And you asked me, you said like, oh, I feel like this is something. And I felt like it was something too. I said, I'm not working. But then I still got invited to this big Hollywood party. This party that I was asked to work for a big check. And I said no, because I thought we're not working. And thinking they're going to cancel the event. This is a big... Of course, we get there, and they've made the whole event about fuck ice. But people are still working.
Yeah, there's people serving drinks.
So I thought like, oh, we'll go, and nobody's working. It's just the people who are going to do the event are just like either, you know, having a night. Like, we're not buying anything. We're not working. We're just at the event space. But nobody's working there. We get there. I'm the only one who said no.
There's
famous comedians on it. Like, nobody cares but me.
I asked everybody if they were canceling, and then it came down to it. And when I posted that thing, a million people hit me up, and they were like, hey, I really hope this means that you're not canceling Tempe, because I really...
I need to laugh. So you were totally right about that. But you asked me. But again, that's it. Like, I'll have an opinion on everything, right or wrong. I have an opinion on it.
Yeah.
You can ask me about something I never heard about. I'll have an opinion. The HVAC.
Yeah.
Totally. I might not know a ton about it. I have an opinion about it. I could be right and wrong. Often I'm wrong. No problem.
I agree. People expect us to be correct.
Yeah. So you did the right thing.
I do the right thing. And that.
And I did tell you in giving you the advice. What did I say?
You said, this is me. You asked for this advice. I'm giving you my advice. This is not necessarily
I wouldn't unsolicited tell you what to do with your fucking life. You're asking me. I'm telling you what I think.
Yeah. So you didn't get to do the show? Did you hop on at all?
No. And I thought, and I was happy with my decision, because I got to look at everybody from the point of being righteous.
Nice.
Fuck these. Look at these Hollywood fucking sellouts. Yeah. Even though I can't personally wait to sell out as soon as humanly possible.
Yeah, I know. And okay. And you have the big apartment, you have the perfect car, you have the perfect wife.
Unbelievable.
And you wake up, you get out of bed, and you go, I'm happy.
Beyond.
Everything is good.
Yeah, Gabby makes coffee. Down.
Gabby makes coffee.
She brings it in bed.
You sit down to write?
No.
Jokes?
Is that how you write?
No, absolely not.
No, I just, whenever I think of something, I'll throw it in.
And are you worried that you're going to stop hating things because your life is good? Because hatred is where the funny
No, I have, I have a lot. People think it's hatred, and people are surprised how kind I am. And I have a lot of kind bits. No, I have kind bits too. I've talked about I love flowers. People hate flowers. People love that bit. People hate flowers. They don't do anything. People think flowers don't do anything. I'm like, you're so hot. They don't have to do anything. Who? Rocks don't do anything. You don't give them any. What do you fucking care?
People hate flowers.
People hate flowers. They're useless. They're this. They're stunning.
Oh, they're getting them.
They're stunning. Have you seen the colors? Deep reds and blues out of nature, nowhere. Unbelievable.
But that's you
product.
Hating people who hate flowers.
No, okay, well, see, this is how I enjoy the good stuff.
Of course.
I still enjoy.
It is critical.
Yeah, people you can hate from any vantage point.
Yeah.
That's evergreen. Hating people is, I mean, people give us so much to hate that you would never get to the end of it. So maybe it's not even the thing I'm talking about. Maybe it's always the people. And so, no, I don't worry about that.
Your dad is still religious in Nebraska?
Nebraska, Nevada.
Nevada.
You want to see a picture recent that I got of him?
And your mom is not religious?
No, my mom took us out.
She took
I mean, my mom is religious, just not as religious.
You seem a little religious.
Gabby thinks I'm the most religious person.
Yeah, you have a little bit in there.
What do you mean?
You have a little bit of an organized... I can tell that you have a little bit of like a... divine prophecy, like there's a little bit of like a, this is what I meant to be doing, just in your language there's a little bit of like, which is great, it's great. I have like a no free will thing, so I'm like, whatever happens is gonna happen. But I can tell you have like a little bit of like a chosen path kind of a thing
sometimes, but also it's like, yeah, I feel it, like I do, but I'm not sure, you know, like, it's kind of like, I've talked about this before, like, there's nothing I don't believe in. Like, people go, do you believe in ghosts? Do you believe in heaven? And it's like, well, I don't, there's nothing I don't believe in.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's as weird that I'm here, not plugged into a wall and not wearing batteries, that I'm working, that there would be an afterlife. I think it's as unusual that we're here as it would be if we, somebody was, there was an afterlife. Both are as unusual to me.
I mean, I think it's fully retarded to try and think about the after. I don't, I wouldn't put that on you to think that there's something later.
Yeah.
But I mean, now I feel an energy from you that is a little bit like the path is being laid out and I am walking it.
Or I'm doing it. I don't know. It's both. It's always like.
What I get is it's abundantly obvious that when somebody is like, I am meant to be doing this, it it reinforces that reality. Like how synchronicity works, where it's like, because your focus is like, I am doing things correctly, you people trust that you're doing things correctly, and then you end up doing things correctly because people are inviting you to do things more correctly.
Yeah, and I also, but it was like, it's like a fit of anything. When something fits, it fits. When I first started, my friends who were, you know, we were all trying to go to school and kind of get good jobs. And I didn't know if I would go to school. My mother always said school's not for everyone.
Yeah.
She told us that a lot just because of the, you know, she thought it was a scam, obviously, because it's like, what? Why don't you go work? And she was early on that. So my friends, when I said I was going to, I heard about stand up and I'm going to do it, they were like, yeah, they didn't even know of it either. But they were like, oh, yeah, that does sound like something you would do.
Yeah, mine was like every person in my life was like, you have to do stand-up. And at the last possible moment, I was like, fine, I'll just try it.
Okay, this is for Factor Meal Prep. These are meals that you can throw in your freezer. I do it all the time. I take one out. Nellie, the one recording the video, actually did this in my house. She found that. She took it out. She threw it in the microwave because she was staying at my apartment. There was nothing in there. She ate it. She said it was delicious. She loved every bite of it. It's quality, functional ingredients, including lean proteins, colorful veggies, whole food ingredients, and healthy fats. No refined sugar, no artificial sweeteners, and no refined seed oils. Seed oils are really bad. I'm finding that out. They're super bad. They make me feel bad, and there's none in these things. I really like the Tex-Mex chicken bowls. I like any of the stuff with chicken, actually. I like the wild grain rice. It's nice that you can count your macros on it. They have 100 rotating weekly meals to keep things fresh and delicious through the winter or through the spring, wherever you're at. Options include high-protein, calorie-smart Mediterranean diet, GLP-1 support, and ready-to-eat salads. Plus, the new Muscle Pro collection supports strength and recovery, perfect if you're getting back into a workout routine. Always fresh, never frozen, ready in about 2 minutes. No prep, no stress. You can actually stick to your goals. I keep it in my freezer and I just pull one out whenever I haven't prepared food for myself. It's really helpful because sometimes you're worried about getting the right amount of nutrition and you're on the run, and instead of going to a fast food place, you throw one of these in and it's pretty good. Head to factormeals.com/RIPJordan50off and use code RIPJordan50off to get 50% and free breakfast for a year. Offer only valid for new Factor customers with code and quality auto-renewing subscription purchase. Make healthier eating easy with Factor. Enjoy the show.
This is my father, kind of at my age, in his 30s.
Oh, wow. Wow. Fully steeped in it. Look at that beard. Oh, you guys do have similar eyes. What's his name?
Gershon. And then this is him now. I don't really know him.
He didn't go to your wedding. Holy shit. Can you show the camera?
Yeah.
His hat? What is that hat doing up there?
It's a yarmulke.
That is what he looks like?
Yeah.
How did you get that photo?
My sister found it.
Wow. Nobody talks to him?
No. He's religious.
How did your mom get up the chutzpah to leave?
She just was, you know, beaten to a pulp for too many years, and my grandfather was out of the community.
He hit her?
Yeah.
Bad. Really?
Mm.
Around you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But he would always tell us, like, you know, we didn't hit, I didn't hit you. You hurt Ma.
Ugh.
Like, you hurt Ma. Like, she's crying. My mother is the sweetest.
Really?
Oh, bro.
See, my mom would get hit, but she was kind of a cunt.
Well,
she was also a boy. She was just kind of like, let's wrestle.
This is my mother young. Also.
Oh, my God. Wow, it's like a straight New York Hasidic lady that I see every day.
These are my parents when they had me.
And that guy would hit her?
Yeah, he got, well, he got really crazy, even more fanatic than this. I know he looks the most fanatic, but there's even, they get, it's like joining ISIS, but without, like, you know, the terrorism. But there's domestic terrorism. What I mean by that is, like, truly in the home.
So he's sometimes. Like, he's like, God is telling me to beat you, basically.
No, but just that, you know, she's under him. Yeah.
Wow. Didn't any of your brothers get activated by it?
Oh, yeah. My brothers, when we... Later on, when we grew up, we were teenagers and whatever, like, if my, and my mother had left the community, when my father would want to visit, I remember early times, they were like, if he steps in the house, we're going to punch him in the neck.
Yeah, yeah.
My brothers hate my father more than,
yeah,
my brothers are such good men. I think you either become like these people or you, like, really.
None of them are religious.
No, none are religious and all are very sweet and not. Aggro.
It's pretty crazy to have 10 of you guys and not one person went back.
My brother Schneer went back, but he toggles in and out. He didn't go back to that extent. You know, when you say not religious, it's a transition. You know, I still have a mezuzah on the door and I say the Shema at night. I'm not an animal.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it's a prayer. I'm not God, if whatever God is or isn't. Let's say there is one. Okay, they let me be gay. If there's a God, I think he fucks with me.
Okay.
I think he's just like, well, she's gay, but what are you going to do? I like her. You know, I just think that God's like, I fuck with Rob. Like, it is. She's not doing everything.
Yeah.
You know, but what are you going to do? You know, so I don't push it. Like, he's already letting me be, if there's a God, they're letting me be gay. I live one of the greatest lives I've heard about in recent history. It happens to be mine.
Yeah.
So I could throw a prayer in at night.
I see.
I can have a mezuzah on the door. I don't have to desecrate.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point.
You know?
You don't have the anger of, like, why did you let me grow up in this extreme situation? I got myself out of this.
No, I think he's like, well, we tried to give, you know, but you're doing what you can, Rob. And I appreciate you. If I throw a prayer in there, he goes, thanks for saying hi.
And it's just the culmination. Was there a point in your life where you were like, I'm not grateful. I hate this accounting job. I hate what I'm doing. I'm fucking miserable. Or have you always been full of gratitude?
Yeah, I always hate it. No.
You literally are like, I'm at this place and now I am grateful.
Yeah. I always it's kind of like having things. Like, people go like, oh, you bought this hat or you bought this. Like, having stuff is way better than I thought it would be.
Really?
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Yesterday when I was leaving, I had stuff with me for this photo shoot. And I was on the phone with my friend and I had this extra chew bone for Coyote.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just have stuff that I can grab that I need. This
yeah,
is crazy.
It is the best.
I'm equipped.
Yeah. So when I hated my job and I was yelled at sales jobs, if anybody in sales, my heart goes out to you. And the money, I was starting to, I could make my rent, but it's like I had, I couldn't miss one day of work, right? Like, everything was, I'm just barely making anything, and that was even better than when I wasn't making stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just it just does feel good to have and to be doing what I love. I never thought that I would get that. You know, when you don't get to do what you love. It's fewer and far between. If you're not an Epo, you're not rich. You don't get to dream. You know, my siblings have jobs that they don't love, and it's very taxing. And most people have to do something that they don't love, and you know, and I because I don't know, jobs are kind of just made up.
Yeah,
you know, like working in you know, there's a lot of made up things that aren't like, I don't know, that humans were put on this to like wake up, do this thing for the, you know, move paper around, and so it's just I was so angry all the time, and
really?
So yeah, just like I didn't enjoy it all, nothing. But I didn't have anything to enjoy. I felt like I barely had joy when I was working. Like, I had so much dread every night I had to go to bed, and I woke up with dread. It starts your day off terrible.
Do you have that about going on the road at all?
Yeah, I don't go on the road as much. I don't love that as much.
Yeah.
Day to day. I've certainly had that, but I don't have it to nearly the extent. Because once I'm on stage, I love seeing you guys.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, I don't love to fly, and I'm a nervous flyer.
I'm a nervous flyer, too.
Yeah, and it only gets worse. Because every time we do it, I go, we're taking another chance. Like, how many chances is Hashem going to give me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How many, God's like, we took you to Phoenix. Come on now.
it's a lot. It's a lot. And turbulence is getting worse. And it's just completely out of your hands. And people
and
are
now
always
I'm
like,
seeing
a car is
planes
more dangerous. And I'm like, yeah, but I could survive a car crash.
Exactly.
Like, I'm not gonna survive
I feel
that.
Identical to
and I don't want to know. I don't want to watch myself fall to death.
Chas v'shalom, chas v'chalila, b'lein har, b'lein eder, God forbid. Sometimes I'm on the plane and I see another plane.
Yeah,
I never
I don't
saw
like
planes.
That. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, there was never plane traffic. Now I'm worried how many planes.
Yeah.
Like, are we going to do roads? Like, what's the vibe here? Like, yeah. Are there lanes?
Okay, that I can relate to more. So you're not one of these people who's like, it's in God's hands. Whatever happens, that's good.
No, God is saying, well, also be reasonable. What are you getting up in the air? Nobody told you to go up in the air like that. That's crazy.
Yeah. Will you do the private jet thing?
I did it once.
I can't do it.
I did
because
it
of
once.
My religious thing where I'm like, if God has to smite a commercial jet full of kids or me and this asshole comedian who has a private jet, we're going down.
Right. Well, I had no choice. I was opening and this was the flight. And I said, and I sat like this the whole time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Same.
It was very short. And
do you get fucked up with turbulence?
Everything. I'm praying. I become religious immediately.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally.
I mean, I travel. When I didn't have insurance at the dentist once, they said, he said, what's your insurance? And I pulled out this card.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was
my prayer, prayer for travelers.
Can you read that?
Yeah, I'll read it to you.
You can read that.
Yeah, but it's also in English, so I can read it to you.
Wow.
This, I've never, and I sent Gabby with Traders, I sent her with this. Okay, let's read this. This prayer is to be said standing if possible. So whenever you see Jews on the plane, and I get grateful. I see anyone religious playing on the plane, I'm like, Allahu Akbar, Baruch Hashem. I get, God is God.
When you see somebody praying
on the plane, I'm very happy.
Yeah, yeah.
This prayer is to be said, standing if possible, outside the city on the first day of one's journey. On subsequent days of the journey until reaching home, the prayer should be recited every morning, whether on the road or at a hotel. Could you imagine?
Wow.
It should be concluded thus. Baruch Ata. Okay. Shoma Tefillah. Blessed are you who hears prayer without mentioning the Lord's name. So I mentioned it here, but only because I'm teaching. Okay. Adonai. May it be your will, Lord our God, and God of our fathers, to lead us in peace and direct our steps in peace, to guide us in peace, to support us in peace, and to bring us to our destination in life, joy, and peace. One who intends to return immediately says, and return us in peace. Deliver us from the hands of every enemy and lurking foe, from robbers and wild beasts on the journey, from all kinds of calamities that may come to and afflict the world, and bestow blessings upon all our actions. Grant me grace, kindness, and the mercy in your eyes and in the eyes of all who behold us, and bestow bountiful kindness upon us. Hear the voice of our prayer, you and everyone's prayer. Blessed are you, Lord, who hears this prayer.
Where's the
Please do not discard this prayer.
Where is the access panel that goes to God? Like, where is the, is there a word in there that's supposed to be like, God is supposed to be like, okay, now I'm listening?
You're just talking to God. It's
You're
a one way.
But you can, it doesn't, you don't have to say a certain word that.
No, you don't say anything. You just have this. You're good to go. You want a card? I'll get you a card. You need one?
I just always wondered that.
All you need is this card. You want
Christians,
one?
Christians, you kneel down and pray and then God goes, okay, look at that person. But this.
Wait, what happens in Christianity?
You kneel and pray, and then God goes, okay, I'm listening to you. But with Jewish people, I see them just driving the minivans and constantly praying.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
how does
God know?
Yeah, because we don't know that God is one. We don't have a defined version of God in Judaism. We don't know what God is, right? That's why we don't have so many numbers. Like, there isn't like, oh, you're going to go to hell if this. Like, we go, like with the afterlife, we don't know if there's a hell or there's a heaven. So we don't make a thing like, oh, you're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. We kind of go, the best answer we have is we don't know.
Does the Torah say something about being gay?
I don't think explicitly.
Yeah.
I think it's about not sleeping in another man's bed.
Yeah, so
maybe if you had separate
that.
Beds, you'd be fine. There's nothing about lesbians. But also, yeah, I think it evolved. We don't necessarily... Yeah, our best answer about all of it is we don't know.
Does Gabby have any religion in her?
No, but she she feels Jewish. She wants to be Jewish. I'm like,
really?
Babe, nobody needs to do that.
She feels.
And by the way, it's not a good time. And by the way, nobody needs. Yeah, but she likes all of the religious hoopla that I do.
Didn't she say on The Bachelorette that she is bipolar?
No.
Or did she said something?
She depression.
Depression.
Yeah.
And she does she do you have to deal with that with her?
Well, she deals with it, but if she, you know, and she's, you know, she's been dealing with it her whole life. But yeah, if she's like one thing that I did deal with it, and this was like early on, it used to really. It's funny, we had small things like, you know, when we were hanging out in the beginning, she asked me like to skip a show. Like, okay, like just come over. Like, I'm like, I never skip shows.
Yeah.
Okay. And then another time we were hanging and it was like the weekend and I said, well, let's just stay in bed and have brunch or whatever, you know. And she's like, you know, because she had to go to a facial. I was like, well, let's just stay in bed, you know, and hang out. And she goes, I never cancel a facial. So it's like we both never cancel our things.
Yeah.
But then this has to do with late and plans. I was going to a friend's birthday and Gab was going to come with me and I was going to pick her up and she canceled.
Right.
She was like, I'm not, you know. And I'm like, well, you have to give me a heads up. Like, it's like 3 o'clock or whatever.
Right, but depression,
you know, I'm
has
picking
that.
You up. So that is something that is a difference that, like, now I never, I always tell people Gab's got a 50% chance of going. No problem. She stays home. Many times I stay home with her.
Yeah.
Like, if she's depressed and she wants to watch Housewives in bed all day, I'm right there with her. I get
you're
our snackies.
Or you are a flake.
I'm not a flake.
You'll show up if you say you're gonna. If you're gonna come to my birthday party, you will not flake. You will be
no,
there. Really,
no. Unless my wife wants me to stay.
Wife
home.
Wife is number one.
Yeah.
Plans number two.
Yeah.
Shows number one. Then wife.
Yeah.
Then plans.
Yeah. Yeah. But if she wants me, you know, she feels lonely when she's depressed.
Yeah.
Like she just has an overwhelming sense of lonesomeness.
Yeah.
So I stay with her, even if it helps
and you
a little bit.
You don't get hostile about the depression. It doesn't bother you.
No, she's so No. I don't get hostile. I just feel so sad that she's sad.
Really?
But she deals with my anxiety. I'm an extremely ruminating.
What do you
I have health
on?
Anxiety. I have anxiety
oh.
in general.
You're worried you have cancer and all that stuff.
Chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom. It makes me religious. Yeah, I'm so paranoid about all of it.
And you'll find something and be like, what's this? What's this? What's this?
Yeah.
Wow. Do you go to the doctor a lot?
No, because I haven't, you know, I find it hard to navigate healthcare. I finally just got good healthcare and I did go to the doctor.
It's impossible to navigate healthcare. It's crazy.
It's very hard. Yeah. So I don't go all the time, but I worry all the time, but she's an ICU nurse. So it really helps.
Oh, I forgot she's a nurse.
Yeah.
Does she work? Does she still do that?
No, but I mean, she was an ICU nurse for 8 years. She did 3 tours of COVID.
Wow.
Yeah. Really.
That'll
crazy.
Give you depression. That.
Yeah.
A lot
yeah.
Of my
yeah. Yeah. But,
so you're paranoid. That's where your OCD manifests, or do you have
Yeah, I have a lot of that, and I worry just in general. I always worry. I just
you worry that somebody
I wake up anxious. I'm always here. That's why I do what probably I can. I'm on time. I'm mitigating where I can.
Okay.
I pray. Okay. I'm doing gay, but okay. I'll pray. I'm always mitigating, hedging.
Yeah.
But I did.
Are you on medication?
Yes.
Really?
Oh
Prozac?
Yeah. No.
What is it?
Sertraline, Zoloft.
Okay.
50 same. mg.
You're on 50 milligrams for the OCD.
For anxiety.
Right.
Because what happens is the first medication I ever tried, and this was years ago, was Lexapro.
Yeah.
And it was, I felt crazy for 6 months. So I got off of it. I never did medication again until a few years ago. I just raw dogged it.
Yeah.
Just anxious every morning, anxious all the time is what it is.
What was the rock bottom that put you back on?
There wasn't a rock bottom. There was just my sister was on Zoloft and really working for her.
Yeah.
So I was like, really? Because I thought they were all the same. I also didn't, you know, it was so hard to get on the Lexapro the first time.
Yeah.
It was like, this doctor referred, like, it just took forever that when I saw that, I was like, I'm off everything. I'm just, you know. And I was only on a little bit of Lexapro, but it blew up my life. And what I realized is.
You were shaky? You were weird?
Yeah, it was just like so, I felt crazy.
Yeah. That's
and what I realized is I had to be properly diagnosed. I got diagnosed with OCD. Which is
OCD
obsessive.
Or pure O? You have ritualistic OCD. You do stuff.
Well, I have OCD and PTSD.
Oh, from your childhood.
Yes. So I was diagnosed with PTSD, and they told me there was 3 kinds of PTSD. There's like one that like, you know of in the movies. It's like maybe a rape or
right. Or
a war, a very traumatic event. Mm-hmm. And you have flashbacks and stuff like that. That's like the one that movies are about. Then there's one that's called like complex PTSD, which is basically incurable. And
that's what I
lots
have.
Of you have it.
Yeah.
And often it's like linked with either bipolar or depression. It has like other. What do you have?
I have bipolar complex PTSD.
No.
Yeah.
It's untreatable.
I know.
Okay. And then I have.
You're like, okay.
Okay. And then I have the third type of PTSD, which is the lowest level, but it's omnipresent. It's kind of like having an Instagram filter on your life.
Yeah.
It's like basically, and that one is more tied to trauma in early childhood under the age of five. So because under the age of five, everything that went wrong did go wrong. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong.
Yeah.
You know, from me crying in the room, being left in the thing, my mother never did show up, or sometimes she did. Or, you know, my father did really leave and never come back. All these things, like, it did go away. Like, it really did go away.
You know,
it's not coming back. So all those things. So now I'm just triggered. What does she say? So now you're just triggered by life. Like, basically,
okay.
I'm like, oh, fiddly dee, like, all of life. So that's why it's something like an email. It's the smallness of life that really, that I'm really triggered
by.
Why
is that treatable in complex PTSD, isn't it?
Well, just because it's a low level, but it's like a hum. Like they describe it, like it's just a little, everything is just a little bit.
So you
complex
don't have
is not as predictable.
You don't get triggered into oblivion.
Complex no, like PTSD, like I triggered. Have small triggers all of
right,
the
but you're
time.
You're not having meltdowns.
No.
Right. I think complex PTSD, you get triggered, you have a giant meltdown.
But complex PTSD is also, she said, associated with like other mental illnesses typically.
Yeah.
So what I realized when I was on the Lexapro. So because I have an anxiety disorder, OCD is also obsessive compulsive disorder, and post-traumatic stress disorder. These are in the anxiety family. Lexapro is an upper, but anxious people are already up. We're anxious.
Yeah.
Depressed people are down, right? So I was anxious. I'm up. I don't have the depression part.
Yeah.
I just have the anxiety part. So when they put me on Lexapro, which is an antidepressant, it lifts you up. Lexapro is up here. So I was like here. Versus Zoloft can do both. Some people it does lift, and depending, and some people it can bring down. It's the reason why I like a glass of wine, for instance, if I'm going to get into a vice, versus I don't smoke weed that would.
I'm never going to
smoke
weed.
Like I could be brought down a few notches. Like the Zoloft.
You've never done coke.
Dulls me. No, I've never tried drugs.
Oh, okay, okay.
The Zoloft does bring me down, especially the Zoloft. It brings me down a notch or two.
Yeah.
Now, if I had depression, you don't want, you know, Gabby needs the upper and I need the downer.
Right.
Because, so that's why Zoloft really worked.
I have Prozac, which is just, it works on the OCD. I don't know if it does much.
Oh, really?
It.
Yeah. So, no. So this one, and she said it was like, Prozac or Zoloft, they've been studied the longest too. So that helps me. Like, all these new things that are coming out, I'm like, let's give it 50 years. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's such a...
Yeah.
So
Prozac has just worked since I was a kid. I can't imagine...
Oh, you've been on it... Because I've been on it for 5 years. You've been on it since a kid?
No, I took breaks. I for sure took breaks. And then my OCD would kick back up. Like,
what kind of OCD do you have? Because I have the thought one. Like, I can't stop thinking. I'm like, but what if this? But are you sure? But, I'll have the same thought. Like, I feel this. I feel this. But what's this? But, like, there's no amount of reassurance. So in therapy, I work on stuff like... Getting, like she says, uncertainty is difficult for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, in anxiety, we would rather have an answer. You're like, I'm not sure, you know, this could go this way or it could go that way. I go, oh, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
I can't believe this. Oh my God, I blew it. It's not going to happen. But she tells me, you know, that's your anxiety. There's as much chance of it happening this way or that way.
That's what mine says too.
So what we have to know is we have to just get good at saying we don't know.
Or think
we
positive.
Don't know.
I mean, my therapist is or like, you if could, you're going to go negative, just think the positive.
Yeah, yeah. Or you can bet on that one. But if you can't, I can't go there.
Yeah.
I go, I don't know. So then when stuff is, I go, wow, by the grace of God.
Yeah.
Here we are. It's just thrilling to me when it goes well. Because everything from five under, and maybe longer, but that's when they say it was formed. Everything that went wrong. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong.
Yeah.
So when something doesn't go wrong, you can't imagine how thrilled I am. I'm like, the glasses worked out. They're unbelievable. They fit perfect. There's nothing ever to think about.
Depression, you find the, for me, it's like it worked out, could have gone better. Everything could have gone better. It could have been better. I could have done a better job. I should have done better. I didn't do the best. I should have made this, done this and this and this. I didn't do that correctly. Now I'm doing this. And I do the overload thing where I'm so addicted to being in chaos that I pile so much shit on my plate so I can't see an avenue to the good stuff. Mm. So as soon as I'm celebrating Netflix, there's a huge load everywhere. Somebody's breaking up with me. My apartment is getting da-da-da-da. I'm the, you know what I mean?
It's so terrible.
It's horrible, but it's, yeah, I mean, it's like something to deal with, but it's like I'm addicted to turmoil. You know what I mean? And so as soon as something good happens, I wreck it. Like, I'm dating a very nice person. I just throw grenades in just because I'm like, I don't know how to deal with it.
Steph set you up.
Steph set me up. Yeah. Yep.
So what grenade are you throwing in?
Whatever I can. Fight. Just walking in the door and being like, let's fucking go. I'm addicted to fighting. I grew up with fighting. I grew up with punching and hitting and wrestling and that's what I want.
Yeah. So see, I've reacted the opposite way. It's kind of like we grew up in a dump.
Yeah.
Everything was filthy and disgusting.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of an eat freak.
Mm.
You know, we've responded. My older sister, Kaya, who's like an hour early, she's extremely that way. Nothing is sentimental. Nothing is. She throws out everything.
She's like me.
Yeah. So, you know, both work, you know, you're either responding or reacting, you know, now you're comfortable to some extent.
But my OCD growing up, which you never would have had the luxury of having in your house, was I was worried that other people's essence was going to rub off on me. Like, I was worried that if somebody touched me, I would start acting like them and then people wouldn't really like me. They'd like this essence of another person. So it was like all day scrubbing and cleaning and washing my shit. And then as I got older, it just switched into more adult stuff where it'd be like that person that you're in love with doesn't actually like you. They like you because they're trying to be like, it's always this like, I am not the person people like. That's why I have this brutal honesty thing where if something happens and I shouldn't tell my partner, I'm just like, I have to say it because what if they love me for a reason that isn't accurate? So I have to tell them that I did this thing.
Okay. So see, you have that honesty, and to bring it back, you're asking me like how I feel great at what I do. It's like, because I have to say it. Like, if it's true, I have to say it.
Okay.
I wouldn't say it if it wasn't true.
Right.
Again, I'm not saying it because it's me. I'm saying it because it's true.
I have a superstition that if I say it, it'll go away.
Yeah, that can happen too. I have that with some things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have that with some things, but not stuff I don't know. If I know something, then I can speak to it. But I don't know that much.
Yeah.
You know? And also, that's fake too, because I talk all kinds of smack.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There's no rules.
That's interesting that you also have the OCD thing. I mean, so I have OCD. You're suffering.
Yeah. It sounds like, I definitely have OCD, obsessive compulsive thoughts, but they've gotten better.
It's not, you're like, I am sorting out all of this turmoil in my mind. What I do know is this is good. Comedy is good. Gabby's good.
That's
my house
I'm saying.
Is good. The Porsche is good.
Yeah, the good stuff. And I'm going to worry. I'm a worrying person. It's also cultural.
Right.
I mean, you know, I'm not going to fix, you know, so.
I'm going to start doing
but
this.
But enjoy where I can.
I'm going to start, instead of looking at the Porsche, for me, if I got the Porsche, I'd be like, the Porsche is going to get taken away. Somebody's going to take the Porsche.
No.
They're going to.
Well, I have the club on it. I'm not an animal. I lock the Porsche. We park inside. We make sure we had the apartment with parking.
But I'd be
I'm
like, I don't deserve the Porsche now. My career is going to go bad because I thought I was able to. If I get a bigger apartment, that's going to prove to the universe that I am greedy. So then my career is going to start tanking. So I can't get
it. It's all over.
But you
it's
see what I'm
all,
saying?
Oh, I know, but here's how we have to. I watch the show. Maybe I take the wrong lessons from Steph. I watch that show, Surviving Death.
Yeah.
On Netflix.
Yeah.
6 episodes.
Yeah.
About a lot of the stuff we're talking about now.
Okay.
It's a clinical look for the first time at death.
Yeah.
As a life event, you know. So they had doctors and psychiatrists and real clinical studies done on near-death experiences, because science demands us, if there's enough examples of something, that we collect the data and we mine it and we look for patterns. So there's enough anecdotal data of people experiencing near death or afterlife that, okay, we're going to get them together. We're going to do scientifically. What have we learned from this? So that's what the series does. And it's fascinating. Surviving Death. And the big thing episode to episode was, you know, that life is like fleeting, you know, it's very possible there is an afterlife. It's very possible you can be reconnected with your grandfather, with whatever. We don't know. And the material world is fleeting. And what's important in life is then to realize what's important, relationships and love and that. But my takeaway was, if the material world is fleeting and that's all we know, let me have some shit now while I can. Let me have the Porsche now. If I can see my Zadie, my grandfather forever, can't wait. But if I can only wear a watch now, let me wear a watch now. I like things. I happen to like things, too. I like a tactile, physical world.
Yeah.
So if the spiritual world is forever, that's phenomenal, great news, thrilling.
Yeah.
But let me have some shit now while I can. Let me enjoy while I can the physical, too.
I mean, I like the mentality. I wonder, I see that so clearly now that it makes me question my own mentality.
So enjoy the apartment. Enjoy the space. We don't know. We don't know if you're on a cloud or what you're on.
My worry is that I'll enter the spiritual world at 50. You know what I mean? Where all I have. Because I'm like, if I get the $6,000 apartment now, by 50, I lose my career. I'm in a $6,000 apartment. I have no money. The spiritual world, which is what my mom and my sister, like, I don't want to enter the spiritual world at 50. I want to do it after death. So I'm like trying to prolong. But I think that you're right. I think that it's like gamble on the now and hope that it works out later.
Yeah. Or also if you're in a position in New York, like maybe if you can afford $6,000 rent and that's what it is for a nice apartment here, maybe you can have enough for a down payment, but you bought your country house or sell that and buy into those. So at least you're not losing your money.
Right.
Let's say, so hedge the bet.
Yeah.
If you're so worried. And then by the time you'll already be on to your next apartment. But just in case, if you want to be careful about it, so buy it so that you get your rent back for every month if you ever sell it. You know, you get that equity back.
You're such a daddy. It's great.
So you should do that. I am. Daddy's home.
You're such a daddy, dude.
Daddy's home.
It's sick.
Daddy's home. So then you can hedge it. Okay, I'm Robbie Hoffman on Instagram.
Go see the special. It is really incredible.
Thank you so much. Wake Up, streaming now on Netflix. My podcast, Too Far, is Patreon only. We don't accept any corporate dollars. They won't give them to us. The tour, I mean, I should promote the tour, but it is sold out, but for a few accessible seats. If you're a bitch with no legs, you might be in luck, which you don't hear every day. You're sitting there in your chair. I got a seat for you.
Yeah.
When's the last time you're disabled in this country and you got good news? This is it. The disabled tickets might be the only tickets left. I think there's two in New York, and I think there's like...
What are you doing in New York?
12 in Seattle. I'm doing town hall.
Nice. Fun.
I think there's two...
What are you doing? Are you doing weekends at clubs? Are you doing little theaters around the...
I'm doing big theaters.
Big theaters, one at a time through the...
Yes.
Are you going home between?
No, I do like a 3 to 6 week tour, maybe. Yeah, some I go home.
Okay.
But I'll like, you know, I'll go to New York, and then I'll spend the week here. I'll probably be at the Cellar and stuff. I do a leisurely tour. I like a very slow, steady, routing, and then I'll go to the next one.
So you won't be home for 6 weeks?
But I might be. I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
Okay. But you can fly Gabby out. You can chill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That's awesome. Is the tour, it's sold out?
It's pretty much sold out, but for a few seats. Yeah, I think there's some. We added a second show in Seattle. I think there might be some left there. I think there's like 4 tickets left.
What room in Seattle, Crocodile?
What am I doing? Neptune?
Neptune, great.
I'm doing Neptune. So Seattle second show might be some stuff. Vancouver, there might be like 20 tickets. But by the time this airs, just run. But if you're hearing this, RobbieHoffman.com. If there's a seat, by the way, if somebody can't make it and then maybe they returned, we will throw those on there. Yeah. I'm very particular about the seats. I don't like to get there and there's people waiting outside and I can see an empty seat. Yeah. I will go outside and pluck somebody. So... RobbieHoffman.com. Maybe you'll get lucky.
Cool. I just announced my tour, I think, for summer. So get tickets for that.
You're touring every week. What's your life? You're on the road.
Now I'm doing a big bus tour. And then when I get back, it'll be two weekends.
On the bus. How's the bus? I hear it's amazing. Oh, you haven't been? This is your first bus tour?
First bus tour. I've never done the bus. I'm doing the bus because I hate the flying.
And how long are you doing the bus for?
Just 2 weeks.
And who's going to be on the bus with you?
My friend from childhood, Nell, who's going to sell the merch. The tour manager, Jake Velasquez, who opens for me.
Great.
And the bus driver. And the...
What about this dog?
Oh, of course.
The dog?
Of course.
Come here!
And then we're going to go to a shit ton of cities, and then I'm going to take 3 weeks off, and then I'm going to start doing 2 weekends a month. Are you doing...
That's fantastic.
And you do big chunk of time, 6 weeks on, and then you take a huge amount of time off?
That's right. I have, well, because I'm acting, and I'm doing my show, and, you know, check out, I'll have a... And I write. I do a lot.
Yeah. You do a lot.
You know.
I'm proud of you.
Proud of you, bud.
Look at us. Friends. At us. We know each other, and we're friends. Us.